Hello, everybody. It is Saturday in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My name is Adam Bittner, Assistant Sports Editor for Multimedia at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, joined once again by Ray Fittipaldo for our weekly Steelers Mock Draft Tracker video, where we look at picks for the Steelers from across the internet. It's mock draft season. Ray, it got serious this week. We had like several multi-round mocks, lots of depth to kind of chew on. We've been talking about some of these first-round names for months at this point, but it was nice to get into some later rounds. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, and I think the Steelers draft focus it's becoming more clear. After the Deontay Johnson trade, we kind of know they're going to go after a receiver in the first 2 days of the draft. I think we've known all along that whether it's a center or a tackle, they're probably going to go offensive line in the first 2 days of the draft too. So I think we know the positions at this point, and now it's just, you know, the fun process of identifying which players are actually going to, be under consideration here.
Yeah, lots of receiver names in the multi-round mocks this week, predominantly in the second round, but I saw a couple of first-round choices as well. So I'm going to get Ray's thoughts on all of them and their fits with the Steelers. Going to talk about the tackle market a little bit and the drop-off and how that might impact how the Steelers want to pick things. And then we're going to get into some, some deeper positions later in the draft, later in the show. Before we do, just want to thank our primary sponsor for this episode and every episode of the Steelers Mock Draft Tracker video, Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. There's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella, who can help you save on energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella Windows and Doors to find the right product for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. That's 866-593-1560 to get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. All right, Ray, let's get into the receivers here. Lots of interesting names this week. Matt Miller of ESPN did a full 7-round mock this week. And the name he brought up for the Steelers in the second round was Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky. The top comp for him was Deebo Samuel. I believe that was from Lance Zierlein of NFL.com. We've heard some rumblings that the Steelers were interested in Deebo Samuel himself, Ray. So, I don't know whether that's going to happen, but if we get to draft day and it doesn't, do you look at a guy like Malachi Corley as a fit in Arthur Smith's offense and with, you know, what they seem to have been kicking the tires on behind the scenes here in the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you can't trade for one of the 49ers receivers, why not draft a guy who's comp to both those guys with Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel? Yeah, Corley is one of the more interesting receiver prospects in this draft. You know, at Western Kentucky, he was almost used as like a running back, but they would throw him short passes and then he would make plays, with yards after the catch. So he wasn't asked to run the full NFL route tree in college. There's obviously going to be speculation whether he can grow into that role, but for what he did in college, I think it's a good fit for Arthur Smith. You throw to him short, you let him get yards after the catch. And, I think if you want to go back to Tennessee and how Arthur Smith used A.J. Brown, that's a pretty good comp. A.J. Brown was a complete receiver. He can go deep. He could do everything. But if you look at what Smith did with him, little slants over the middle, he would run after the catch. I remember a long touchdown pass Tennessee had with A.J. Brown, just catching the ball maybe 10 yards over the middle and then running for a touchdown against the Steelers. So I think that's the type of a comp you're going to see with Corley. I think he's a good player, and I think he's actually a good fit for them at number 51 in the second round if he's still on the board.
Yeah, I was about to ask that because you mentioned, his route running and stuff like that as a concern. You think second round would still be a good value for him?
Yeah, I think so. If you look at the top 50 prospect list by Daniel Jeremiah, I think he's somewhere in the mid to late 40s. So, yeah, I mean, at that point, Daniel's usually pretty spot on with those. I know he's making some omissions and additions throughout this pre-draft process, and that's normal. Guys are going to rise and fall as he talks to some of the decision makers around the league. But, yeah, I think at number 51 – first of all, that's a perfect area for the Steelers to address receiver because you're taking advantage of that depth. You don't have to get one in the first round. You can sort of wait till to get one in the second round. And I think for his talent and I think for what the Steelers need, I think he would be a good fit. You look at George Pickens. You know, we saw Pickens last year catch a lot of short passes and run after the catch, but I don't know if that's his strength. He did well with it last year, made a couple of big plays, the Bengals game, of course, the Ravens game that got them into the playoffs. But, you know, I think take advantage of his deep ball skills, run him deep down the field, then you have a number two receiver like Corley or any other number of rookies that coming out of the draft we're talking about. I think, you know, you sort of get those guys into better positions. Use George Pickens' strength where he can help you most, and then use this rookie where he can help you most in the passing game.
Speaking of rookies, I want to get into Xavier Leggett of South Carolina. We know the Steelers have at least some level of interest in him. He's one of their pre-draft visitors. Seems like a little bit of an incomplete route runner again, Ray, but has the ability to kind of make plays down the field, is good with the ball in the air. How do you view him as an option for this offense?
Yeah, probably more similar to Pickens than, you know, like a guy like Corley would be. You know, Leggett's a guy you're going to throw the ball, you know, 50-50 balls. As you mentioned, he can go up and win a lot of those contested catches. Really fast guy. The interesting thing about him is he didn't have a lot of production until his senior season. You look at what he did freshman, sophomore, excuse me, junior seasons. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't anything to write home about, but he was very good as a senior, a guy who kind of came into his own, finally figured it out, you know, with South Carolina. So we'll see if that continues in the pros. You know, a guy like him who doesn't have that production, you know, you're not going to see him a lot in the first round, but his traits, his speed, all that stuff, all those measurables has him as a definite day two pick.
Another name that I know you're interested in, right? He was in one of your early seven-round mock drafts, Roman Wilson. I believe it was an SB Nation mock that had him as a second-round pick for the Steelers this week. You liked him early in the process, Ray. How do you like him now, having gone through the combine, you know, the Senior Bowl, pro days, all that good stuff? Is he still someone who's high on your radar?
Yeah, probably the best receiver at the Senior Bowl. You know, you don't see him. If you see him, like, on a lot of top 50 lists, he'll be near the tail end of it. So he would right be in that 51 range. Again, I think maybe you can get him at number 84 in the third round. You know, he's not an elite, you know, 40 guy or tester or anything like that. He's just a really, really good college receiver. I think will make a good transition to the NFL. So just because he wasn't in my latest mock drafts doesn't mean I still don't like him. I do like him. You know, it's just a matter of when you would take a guy like that. You know, like second round, maybe a little bit of a reach for Wilson. But if you don't get a guy in the second round, I think he'd be perfect for you at number 84.
Yeah, going to be interesting to see how that works out. Ray, let's get into, Adonai Mitchell from Texas. That was Mike Tannenbaum of ESPN's pick for the Steelers this week as a first round pick. We've been talking about guys that, you know, mostly projected second day options. I found Mitchell very interesting because his direct comp from, I believe, again, Lance Zierlein is George Pickens himself in the Steelers offense. What do you think of that fit? I guess we have concerns about them going after a receiver in the first round, given the needs up front. So that out of the way, let's just say hypothetically, him and George Pickens in the same receivers room. Does that work? I mean, do you want two guys that kind of need the ball in the same way?
Yeah, I mean, much in the same way as Leggett. You know, you have two similar guys and you would have the same thing, you know, with Mitchell. So, for me personally, and, you know, the Steelers front office might have different opinions on this. I want variety in my receiving corps. So, I don't know, maybe that would speak to Pickens' long-term viability with the Steelers. You know, he's got 2 years left on his contract. He's not going anywhere this year, but, you know, maybe if they got someone similar to him, they would try to mold that guy as their number one down the road. So they'll have options in this receivers class. Obviously, the first-round guys are guys who are going to project to be number ones, and there are plenty of those guys, especially in the top 10 of this draft, who I think will project and will be good number one receivers. And then you get into the second round, you know, guys who are going to fit in more as number twos and nice complements to, you know, guys like George Pickens. So it all depends on what the front office wants here. I'm still not convinced, Adam, that a receiver is going to be the pick of 20. I think center and right tackle is a much bigger need for them, but certainly the trade of Deontay Johnson puts number 20 into play for a receiver as well.
You set me up well for tackle here, right? Because I want to get into that and how that kind of, impacts the draft board. I think it was Matt Miller's ESPN mock, the seven rounder that had, I think it might have been Josh Edwards of CBS, had Christian Jones as a third round pick. He's a tackle from Texas. The scouting reports are not glowing though. And I believe Lance Zierlein pegs him as a likely backup rather than, a likely starter, good player within a short period of time, as he often does. Does that speak to the lack of depth in this tackle class and why, when, we sit here and go through these mocks and build out our own thoughts, it gets really hard not to imagine them going tackle just because of the lack of options later on where you can, we've been talking about, you can get a receiver later. You can get a corner later. You can get some of these other needs. I think center is probably on that list. It really feels like you can't get a tackle later. Is that a bad read on things?
No, I think especially when there are seven or eight guys who could go in the first round. Yeah, I think naturally there is going to be a drop off. There's a few guys you might be able to nab in the second round who will develop into starters. And that wouldn't be extraordinary. I mean, I look at Marcus Gilbert way back in 2011. He was a second-round pick. He became a starter right away, and he was really good for the Steelers for a long time there. So you can get starters in the second, maybe even the third round. But, the way I look at it, Adam, their desire this season at some point, whether it's September 1st or November 1st, their desire at some point is to move Broderick Jones from the right side to the left side. And if you do that, you better have someone in line who can take his place sooner rather than later. That's likely going to be a first-round pick. And the other thing about that is they don't need a backup tackle. Last year, Spencer Anderson played all over the line. His best position in training camp was right tackle. So to me, you're all set. Like whenever you draft that rookie and he's ready to play, Spencer Anderson is your swing tackle, your most versatile backup on the offensive line. And then you could probably, release Dan Moore. Or you want to carry nine offensive linemen, you could still keep Dan Moore. But at that point, there would be no need for his services. So to me, they don't need a backup. They need a starter. And most likely, you're right, that's going to come at pick number 20.
Yeah, I think that's my big, concern here, Ray, is if you're going to invest a pick and tackle in the first couple of days of the draft, don't you have to know on some level that he's going to have a good chance to beat out Dan Moore and be that right tackle guy? And if you don't, can you justify the pick of a tackle, at that point in the draft?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think whether you're talking about J.C. Latham, Amarius Mims, Tyler Guyton, any of those guys who are projected to go between like 15 and 25, all those guys are going to be starters at some point as rookies. I think Latham can step in right away and start September 1st, in the opener. Mims only has 8 college starts on his resume, so he might be a little bit like Broderick Jones. You might have to bring him along and get him ready. Guyton as well. Guyton is a transfer from TCU, still learning a little bit, but there's tons of potential there. So Guyton is a guy as well. If you get him, he's going to be a long-term answer for you at tackle, but it might take a little while for him to, get up to speed with the NFL game. So, I think everyone is itching to see Broderick Jones on the left side. I think that's going to happen at some point next season, but you also do have to think, if it's a guy like Mims who has limited starting experience and is coming out early, anyone who's coming out early, it's natural to take some time for those guys to get used to their surroundings and to be ready for the NFL. So I know everyone wants it to happen right away, but there's a decent chance that it might not either.
Do you think Latham, I guess, what are the odds you think Latham's going to be there by pick number 20? I saw him go as high as number 7 this week. I think there's a ton, for the same reasons the Steelers would like his package, or the same reasons any other team would probably like to have him. He's big, he's athletic. Do you think he'll be there in all likelihood, or is that maybe a little ambitious for the guy that we have number 1 on our Post-Gazette big board?
Yeah, listen, number 7 is probably a little bit high for a right tackle. I think you'll see Ault probably come off before that. I would be surprised if Latham goes in the top 10. But for him to get to number 20, there's going to have, you know, those guys like McCarthy are going to have to be, you know, shoot up the boards. You know, some other positions are going to have come off the boards. But the thing about Latham, he's like 6'6", 340. He's got the athleticism to play tackle. But he could also be like a really good guard too. So he's versatile, and offensive lineman coaches love that versatility. I think he's got a chance to be the best offensive lineman in this draft. The fact that he's not a left tackle probably hurts his potential to be a top 10 pick. But to answer your question, Adam, I think it's a long shot that he'll be there at 20. But if he is, I think the Steelers should run the card to the table. I think he's that good of a player. I think if he's on the board at 20, they ought to take him.
All right, we're going to get into some other positions here, corner, guard, safety. Before we do, just want to thank another sponsor, Pitt Johnstown. It's a Pitt-quality education with up-close and personal learning, a top-ranked Northeast public college by U.S. News & World Report. Generous scholarships and financial aid are available, located on 655 picturesque acres with easy access to the city center, including shopping and dining. It's a vibrant campus life with an active D2 athlete community. Check out Pitt Johnstown today. Ray, this Matt Miller mock had Renardo Green as another one of the third round choices for the Steelers. He's a name that's come up a lot in these multi-round mocks early in the process. I think Brian had Pitt's MJ Devonshire on the Chipped Ham and Football podcast and asked him, you know, who's a corner in this draft that you really have your eye on? And he said Renardo Green, a guy he went up against at Florida State. What are your thoughts on him as you know, kind of an option on day two to upgrade that cornerback room if that, you know, need is not filled earlier on day one?
Yeah, I think anytime if you're going to take a guy second or third round, Adam, a defensive back, he better be able to be versatile for you. And, you know, Green is that. He's a guy who could play outside, inside. You know, that's what you want when you're drafting a guy on day two of the draft. I think the day one guys you know, those are more your tall, outside, long, really fast guys who are going to project to be number ones or, you know, in the Steelers' case, a really good 1A, 1B type of situation with Joey Porter Jr. So I think that's only natural. You know, if you're a shade undersized, you're probably going to go day two if you're a corner. If maybe you're lacking in foot speed just a little bit, you're probably going to go day two. But, you know, you need those guys. In today's NFL football, you know, sub package football, you're going to have 5-6 defensive backs on the field, you know, more often than not. So it's something that the Steelers, it's a need for them right now. And I think second or third round is probably a good, maybe that 1/4 round pick. That's probably a good area for the Steelers to get a slot corner, right? You know, right now it's Joey Porter Jr. and Dante Jackson. I think they're set for their starters, but they also have to look beyond the season too. Jackson's only signed through this season. So they potentially could use an outside corner and a slot, but for right now, slot is the more immediate need because they have no one in place to be a starter right now.
Another pick we saw, Josh Edwards of CBS had them selecting Dominic Puny of Kansas State. He's a guard. Not the only guard pick I've seen, Ray. I think it's a perception a little more nationally than here locally that the guard is a need. What do you think the odds are that they're going to take a guy who is a guard, not someone who can swing into center with versatility, but straight up is a guard in any kind of day one, day two situation?
Well, I mean, listen, Adam, I mean, if you're coming off the board day two, day three, if you're a guard, you better be able to play tackle or center. If not, you better project to be a starter. You're not going to last in this league very long. So I think Puny has that versatility. He's at the Senior Bowl. He was at the Senior Bowl and did pretty well. You know, I think it's a need for the Steelers, but I don't think an immediate need. And you look at this year, you got Sam Moll, you got James Daniels. They both, played okay last year. I thought Sam Moller was their best offensive lineman. Daniels was, as I said, he was probably average, a little bit above average, but he's not signed beyond the season. And if you look at some of the guard contracts that occurred in free agency, a guy like James Daniels is going to be expensive if he goes on the open market next year. So you might want to have a guy in place to take his job next season, or you're going to have to commit to drafting one. So, I'm with you. I just think the Steelers' bigger needs are at center and tackle. But, yeah, if you want to look beyond the 2024 season, wouldn't surprise me at all if they got a guard, third round, fourth round, somewhere in that area, a guy that you can develop to be that starter 2025 and after.
Also wanted to ask you, Ray, about Cameron Kitchens. I think he came up in that same Josh Edwards mock on CBS. He's the safety from Miami. His name's come up a few times in these multi-round mocks through the process. This isn't the first time we've talked about him here on the show. Where do you think he fits potentially into the Steelers' draft plans, considering the signing of Deshaun Elliott did bolster that safety group, this past couple weeks?
Yeah, so the Steelers don't need a starting safety now, but they could use one, a young guy to develop who can maybe take over for Deshaun Elliott at some point, or take over as that number three safety for DeMonte KZ, who's also entering the last year of his contract. So there is a need for a safety. They've been scouting safeties pretty much since the Senior Bowl in January. I do think they're probably going to draft one with one of their seven picks. To me, it's just, when do you do it? I don't think there's a need to do it early. Third round or after, that would be fine. But I'd be more, in the day three area, if I was in that front office. You just signed Elliott. I think he's going to be the guy this year, maybe even beyond. So I don't think there's a big need to use your best draft resources on a safety. I think they got their starter in Elliott, and I think that's the guy they're going to count on here in 2024.
Yeah, and they were able to find people, right? I mean, they were able to find Rowe and stick him in there. Patrick Peterson worked decently in that role. So, if you did have injuries to deal with, I think there's also reason to believe you could find some guys to fill in decently. Ray, any final thoughts on mock drafts now that things are – I mean, we're basically at the one-month mark until the draft. What are you seeing? What are you feeling? And what are your thoughts on the market at this stage?
Yeah, I mean, for the fans out there, pay attention to the pre-draft visits, the guys who are coming into Pittsburgh to meet with the coaches on the south side. If you look at last year, Adam, their top four picks all took visits to the Steelers before the draft. Broderick Jones, Darnell Washington, Keanu Benton, and Joey Porter Jr. all took pre-draft visits to the Steelers. So it's something they value. In this process, they've already had a bunch of tackles in. They've already had a bunch of receivers in. So they're not trying to hide who their targets are. They never really do. It's not a secret, who the Steelers are going to target in this draft. So they've had about six or seven guys in. Corley has been one of those guys. Leggett also. So pay attention to that. Kind of slow this week because of the owners' meetings, but I think those pre-draft visits will pick up again next week and the week after, and that'll give you a better idea of just who the Steelers are targeting.
Never a dull week in this process, Ray. There's always something to keep your eye on, always some tea leaves to read. So, yeah, keep an eye on those top 30 visits. We're going to have plenty on that on post-gazette.com. Ray, you provide great coverage. Explain, who's coming in and why they might fit. So make sure you're subscribed to the website. Make sure you're subscribed to this channel. So you don't miss any of the great Steelers talk that we have. Christopher Carter will be back with the North Shore Drive on Monday. So that's something to look forward to. If you enjoyed this video, please like it. Help us out in the YouTube algorithm. We always appreciate that. And we will talk to you all again real soon.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.